Now, as we were speaking this morning and hearing about the headline, the Irish Examiner in particular, that second cars in rural Ireland could come into the frame if agriculture doesn't do enough of the heavy lifting required in terms of reducing carbon emissions. Families could be forced to abandon their second car if higher level carbon emission targets for agriculture sector are not agreed or cannot be met. Senior government figures have warned. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, this is a good bit to do with the political horse trading and the tense talks behind the scenes between the likes of Eamon Ryan and Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConnellogue as to whether agriculture will be at 22% or somewhere in the middle, or indeed to the higher end of 30% as required in terms of carbon emissions. The targets are set to be agreed and published by the end of next week, or certainly by the end of July. With me in the line to talk about this in the context of what we're reading and hearing about it is the Kerry TD for Fine Gael, Deputy Brendan Griffin. Deputy Griffin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to everyone listening.
Now, this could be seen as a little bit of scaremongering, criticism coming in for Minister Eamon Ryan this morning in relation to it, even though he's not the one who said this. However, he did give an interview at the weekend in which he was fairly firm in his line to say that there may well be herd reductions and that agriculture will have to do its bit. He said it's going to be tough for every sector, particularly transport and agriculture, in trying to meet their targets. What do you make of where we're at this morning, or what's your view or your concerns about what we're hearing?
Well, look, I do think that this proposal is directly connected to the discussion on agricultural emissions, and it's part of the negotiations. May I just add, though, it's completely harebrained. It's the first I've heard of it. I've no doubt that the journalist who wrote the piece is quoting a source, a reliable source, but doing so anonymously. If a senior government source were to come out on the record, then I think we could have a serious conversation. But the fact that they're saying it off the record, I think says it all. It's absolutely bonkers. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's not. This isn't a plan. This isn't someone saying, right, this is what we're going to do. This is senior government sources outlining, and I'm only supposing here, because this is, as you said, no, an environmentalist was quoted saying this is the sort of thing, this is how radical it would get in transport if agriculture doesn't do what's required in his view. But the senior government sources are suggesting this is how radical we would get. Maybe it's being taken as an example of where we would be if we don't get more than 22% out of agriculture. Yeah. That's just my suggestion, though.
Yeah, it's trying to muscle the farming organisations. It's trying to muscle the farming community. Why aren't they saying, as one of your listeners suggested there previously, you know, will we not ban all cars in the Greater Dublin area? Because there is adequate public transport, or there is certainly scope for further public transport expansion. You know, why isn't there talk about SUVs, where, in my opinion, nobody in Dublin needs one unless there's a particular reason? Why aren't they talking about banning them in Minister Ryan's own constituency in Dublin Bay South, for example? It's very easy to be brave about things 300 kilometres away from you. And I've come across this before now in relation to TDs in Dublin who are anti-LNG and TDs in Dublin who are anti-rural this and rural that. It's very easy to shout from the rooftops when you're above in a Dublin constituency about stuff that will affect people 300 kilometres away. If you're living in Kerry, if you're where I'm from in Kiel, and you have, let's say you have a two-parent family, and one parent is working in Dingle and the other is working in Listowel, which is not uncommon throughout the county. You could have 20,000 different examples all over Kerry where you have a couple. They needn't necessarily be parents, by the way. You know, two cohabiting people in the one household, and they're living in you know, they're working 100 kilometres away, which isn't uncommon. How is this going to work? You know, I mean, it's just mad.
How do you respond to his comments, though, at the weekend? And he's not singling out agriculture here. He's saying that if agriculture doesn't do as much as other sectors, are going to have to do more, and that's very challenging. However, he said there's a huge amount to do to cut emissions in transport and energy as well. Nobody is going to come out lightly out of this, is his point.
I've no doubt that there are going to have to be huge changes made in the way all of us live. But what gets me is, why is it always a proposal that's out there that will negatively and disproportionately impact on people living in rural counties and rural communities? That's the thing that irks so many people. And I think it's setting back the climate change agenda hugely, Jerry, because if one will, it creates a backlash that is uncalled for. Again, I think that, by the way, I was involved in part of the programme for government negotiations in relation to transport, tourism and sport, now predominantly in the tourism and sport area. Never saw anything like this. This was never on the agenda. This seems to be out of left field. Again, there as something to rile up people in relation to, well, then we must do some, we just must do more on the agricultural front. It's an insult to every farmer in the country, by the way, because they know exactly what's going on here. But it is something that's there to scaremonger and to get public opinion behind getting greater emission cuts from the agricultural sector. It's uncalled for. It's not the way to do business.
But how do you square up, Brendan, with the argument and the reality that, like, Ireland is in an unusual position compared to other EU countries? Greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture make up a much larger share of our emissions. In 2020, it was responsible for 37% of all greenhouse gas emissions. And when you put in the non, you know, emissions trading sector greenhouse gas, it's 47%. So therefore, it you can't have a serious conversation about it without looking at it as one of the bigger ones that'll have to contribute, surely. Is that scaremongering?
We won't be having any conversations, Jerry, unless we continue to feed Europe. And Ireland is a country that produces food. And producing food causes emissions. There's no question about that. Now, we can argue in terms of when we look at gross emissions and net emissions, there certainly is a case to be made from Irish agriculture's point of view that there is a very crass way of measuring Irish agricultural emissions. And actually, if you the greater picture isn't being fully looked at. But, of course, as a country that produces a huge amount of food, we are going to have higher agricultural emissions. I mean, that's not rocket science. But I think this constant bashing of Irish agriculture and Irish farmers, as I said, it's an insult to the hardworking farming families of this county, many of whom are listening this morning, and the farming families all over the country, Jerry, who are doing their best, and who will be depended upon into the future. If we look at soil temperatures in Spain and Portugal and France hitting 60 degrees Celsius, that's not sustainable for food production into the future. We have a climate emergency, absolutely.
And I understand what you're saying there, but the point being put, and this is that when you come back to the science of it all, the EPA released a report in July 2021, this time last year they released their report. They said urgent action needed to curb nitrogen pollution in Ireland's waters. Nitrogen levels in rivers, groundwater and estuaries in the south, southeast and east of Ireland are too high and are increasing. This is primarily due to agricultural activities. Now, they're not saying with that, I would suggest, that farmers are going out intentionally polluting our waterways, but that's the reality of what's happening, and that needs to change.
And
that's what Eamon Ryan and the government are trying to agree to change those facts of life about what we're doing.
And every farmer I speak to and their farming representatives will tell you that they're willing to work with government, they're willing to work with the agencies to achieve these targets and to improve all of these situations that need improving. But what really gets on my nerves is in the middle of negotiations, when a curveball like this is thrown into the equation to try to influence public opinion, to put pressure on the agricultural sector in relation to emissions, undue pressure and unfair pressure. And again, as I said, I'm proposing here now this morning that we would throw into this equation the banning of SUVs in Dublin Bay South. And let's see how that washes with people.
But are you not personalising the issue then? Are you not personalising the issue and pointing it all at one person? As if, and painting the picture that Eamon Ryan sits around every morning and tries to come up with a plan on what his latest idea is to destroy rural Ireland. That's not a fair picture of the man, is it?
What I'm saying is, people,
he's got a job to do. He's Minister for Minister for the Environment, Minister for Transport, same as Charlie McConnell, who has a job to do in defending his sector of agriculture and coming up with a plan as to how this will work. If we degenerate into personalised attacks, then you're not going to agree anything, are you?
People might realise what it feels like to be constantly on the receiving end of these harebrained solutions and these harebrained proposals.
And my point is, it's not a proposal. Eamon Ryan did not say we're going to ban second cars in Ireland.
I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying he did. But what I'm putting it out there is that's probably the most urban constituency in the country. We're living in one of the most, probably the most rural constituency in the country. As a rural TD, I'm saying, how does it feel to people living in that urban constituency to hear a rural TD suggesting that they can no longer drive their car or drive a car over a certain size? Because why would you need a Land Rover or a Range Rover in Donnybrook?
Would you be suggesting that those government sources that are quoted in the papers are possibly close to the Green Party?
I'm not suggesting anything. What I'm suggesting is that those government sources, whoever they are, whoever these brave souls are to be quoting off the record, come out in the public and say it if you have something to say. Otherwise, keep your mouth closed in the middle of these negotiations, because it's an insult to everybody who's sitting around those negotiating tables to have this sort of stuff thrown out there into the ether without any source, connect them to, and to have this out there in terms of people ringing my office this morning, ringing every other TD in Kerry this morning, worried that what are we going to do? How are we going to get to work? We're living 45 kilometres from work. There's no bus. There's no public transport. There's no one to carpool with. And these are the calls that are being made in Kerry this morning. It's hard enough for people at the moment. They're skyrocketing bills in terms of their energy, in terms of their groceries. Families are really struggling to get by in this county at the moment, and to have this been thrown in there, and again, it's predominantly working people who are going to be affected by this type of thing. And again, it's not, first of all, can I reassure people, this isn't a realistic proposal. I've seen it nowhere, and I cannot see this happening. I certainly wouldn't stand by it, but this should not even be put out there. If it is a senior
what
government,
what will you stand by? What will Fine Gael stand by? What will Fine Gael stand by? And this Tim Lombard, the Fine Gael senator, quoted saying, "Look, 22% and no more. We will not be moving on that. We will not be supporting anything other than that." Even Ryan is suggesting, and others suggesting, that it has to be up towards the 30% limit. It does seem like internally within the coalition, the sides are very far apart.
It's a matter for the people who are directly involved in the negotiations, but certainly, Jerry, I feel that if we look at Irish agriculture at the moment, and it's a vital, vital part of the food chain in Europe and in the world, and at this point in time, if we're going to be strangling that food production process and that very vital food production source, it makes very little sense, because I think there's a very, very rocky period ahead for Europe and for the world. So we need to encourage Irish agriculture, work with Irish agriculture to do whatever they can in terms of emissions, but certainly not strangle an industry that is feeding this country and feeding our neighbours and feeding all of Europe and many parts of the world as well.
Do you think this can be agreed or will be agreed? Because the language being used at the moment suggests that it won't be agreed. And if we don't agree it, whatever way you slice it, if we don't get this plan in place, we're all in a lot of trouble in a couple of years.
And
time.
That's the type of scaremongering that happens when you get to this stage in negotiating processes. What I'm saying, if for any senior government source to off the record brief a journalist with this sort of a harebrained idea, not only is it doing a huge disservice to their agenda in relation to improving the climate change situation, it's damn right insulting to people, and it is showing a terrible level of ignorance, I think, as well, in relation to how this country works and in relation to this country's position as a food-producing country in Europe and in the world.
Can you just say finally, in relation to that, will ye have a feed-in to this? Obviously, you're talking to your ministers, you're talking to the Taoiseach about this all the time. How much of an input will Fine Gael have on where this number does come down?
Well, we're constantly in negotiations and engagements, through as a parliamentary party when it comes to these type of proposals, even people who are not sitting directly at the negotiating table for each sector. So, for example, in relation to the turf proposals that were there previously, which I'm glad to have highlighted, number one, and have helped resolve, number two, we as a parliamentary party will feed in to the relevant line minister. Isn't acceptable to our constituents. So that's something that's been ongoing throughout the agricultural negotiations as well. I'm constantly, in this case, on the line to Martin Hayden, who is our Minister of State in the Department of Agriculture from the Fine Gael side, but also as well, I must say, Minister McConlogue is always very open to me anytime I go to him in relation to this as well. So this is an ongoing thing. It's the case for all government TDs as well. We're constantly engaging with our partners, looking for the best possible outcome for our constituents, but also as well, none of us are climate change deniers. That's the thing. And every time you make an argument for or against something, it's always thrown out there, oh, you're a climate change denier. I'm not. I'm absolutely not. And my record is clear on that. But when it comes to these things that are counterproductive and that are just absolutely, totally insensitive to the day-to-day practical requirements of working
of
people.
What's
needed. I won't be staying quiet.
Okay, very finally and very briefly, the decision made by the government yesterday to bring in visa changes for those coming from other areas who already have refugee status to require a visa come to Ireland, is that a recognition or maybe an unvoiced recognition, an announced recognition by the government that our system is under pressure, our services are under pressure and we can't take much more in terms of refugee numbers coming into the country?
It is. It's a practical measure. The system is creaking. It's under unprecedented pressure. And it probably always was going to be with the Ukrainian situation. I mean, the fact that 40,000 Ukrainians have come here since the beginning of March is just incredible, really. There's been a massive, massive community effort throughout the country, throughout this county, to help in that regard. But there's only so much, I think, that can be done without we getting to the point where people are ending up in tents and in terminals of airports, all these terrible situations. So, look, there has to be an element of common sense here, and I think that is a recognition that there is, we can only do so much. We are a relatively small country. But to date, I think the effort has been enormous from state level, you know, from agencies, from departments, but also from the ground up, from people, yeah, individuals in their households, communities as well. It's been a huge effort, but I think there has to be realism in terms of what we can do as
Yeah, listen, one final point on it, a listener, and it goes to the question I asked you about, I suppose, government cohesion. Listener says, Brendan Griffin throwing silly jabs at the government, his government colleagues this morning. Government obviously isn't working well together. Pity the vote and confidence last week didn't reflect Brendan's deep disappointment with his colleagues. Sit down and fix the policies. People are hurting enough of the mumbling walk to walk. What's your response to that, finally?
I have to disagree with that particular caller. The way the government works is that we speak up for our constituents. Other people speak up for their constituents. We arrive at a consensus, but certainly I won't be staying quiet when it comes to speaking up for my constituents. And that's what I was elected to do. I'm a public representative. I represent the people. And just on that journey before, I don't know whether I'll be on with you between here and Friday. I probably won't. So could I just take the opportunity to wish the Kerry team on Sunday the very best. I hope that we will have success. They're a fantastic group of young men, and everybody involved with them are great ambassadors for this county. And win or lose, we're very proud of them, and hopefully we'll get the right result on Sunday.
Okay, spot on. Deputy Brendan Griffin, thanks very much for talking to us on the programme. That's Deputy Government Chief Whip and Fine Gael Kerry TD, Brendan Griffin, not happy at all this morning about those government sources that were briefing newspapers about the possibility or the spectre of second cars being taxed in rural Ireland. If